What a joy this had been, a big, big program. I've enjoyed every bit of this. My, surprising things, all of it, but good. Thank you so much for letting me come and be with you. For this time, God bless your hearts. And Pastor, we be praying for you and for all of your work as you keep on going. Thank God for you and for your family, your loved ones, and all your friends. Open your Bible, please. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, one verse I want you to see. Verse 2, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Have you got that now? Look at it again. That's for all of us. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about being in tune with God. Being in tune with God. Some folks are out of tune. In a church, Pastor, you'll have people sometimes that never can get tuned up just right. I mean, I've had them in my life. And you do your best, but there's some that are not in tune. Now, wait a minute. The aim of every one of us should be right to be right with God. Amen? Be right with God in your heart. No matter where you are, what you're doing, you're young or old, you're to be in tune with God. You're to feel the presence of God, the nearness of God, the leadership of God in your life, and the peace of God in your heart, and you have all of it. And that's the important thing. Now, we're all different. We're all different. For example, some folks are what I call high C folks. If you'll try high C, two octaves above middle C, just one note, two octaves above middle C. Yeah, one octave above that. Yeah, some are high C. They go way up there. I mean, they're special. Now, the people like that, unusual folks, unusual people that I call the high C folks, and some may not be of high C, take one octave under middle C, one octave down under middle C, one octave under middle C. Yeah, now one octave under that. Yeah, way down. Some are low down. I mean, they're low. As far as they say the wrong thing, low down. But they are low. They're way. They're different. Wait, we're all different. We're all different. Now, you know where most of us are? It's right in middle C. Middle C. I'm going to give you piano lessons, lady. I got to help you. That's right. My. Middle C. Hit again. Now, anybody can sing that. Yeah, you can sing that when you're sick. You can sing it when you're old, 90 years old. Huh? And you can sing it any time. Yeah, that's it. Now, wait a minute. All the notes on the piano, high C, low C, middle C, all the way up and down, all the way up and down, they're all different. Wait a minute. We're all different. There are no two people alike in this whole building. No two people alike. We're all different. Every one of them. Now, get that now. We're all different. But in Jesus, we're children of God. And we're saved and born again, going to heaven. Now, wait a minute. We're in tune with God, but we're all different. I'm different from you. You're different from that man. We're all different. Ladies are different. We're all different. But we're in tune with God, the same God, and the same Christ, and the same Holy Spirit. And we're to be in tune with God. Now, I want to be in tune with God. In tune with God. Now, try the accordion and see if you will be fam. Both hands. Now, I hear that? C, E, and G. They harmonize. No trouble. Different as any. They have different vibrations. Every note has different. But they harmonize. Now, I'm different from your pastor, but we harmonize. Amen? I'm different from Brother Dyke. And we harmonize. And that's true of all of you, men and women. And we are to harmonize by the Word of God. That's the best thing in the world to think about. We're children of God, and we're different, but we harmonize because we're in the Lord. There's one Heavenly Father, one Savior, one Holy Spirit, and we're in God, and we're harmonizing with Him. Now, I want to be in tune with God, and that means I've got to be right. I've got to be right with Him all the time. And day by day, I'm to harmonize with Him. If I'm to be in tune with God, number one, there must be audition. I've got to hear the Word of God. I've got to hear this book. There's no other way in this world to get by without the Bible. And you've got to hear it. You've got to hear it, have it given to you on a tape machine, or say you've got to listen to the Word of God. This is God speaking to us. I believe in the infallibility of the Word of God. obviously this is God's inerrant word given to us, and we should live. And you want to have ears here. He that hath ears here, let him hear. And you ought to hear the word of God. Hear the word. You can't get too much of that reading. You ought to go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, every time the door is open. You ought to be here. And Bible in hand, you ought to be here. Mark your Bible, mark your Bible, mark your verses, and memorize them, and get them all. And you've got to listen. Now, to be in tune with God, you've got to listen to God. Audition, that's audition. Second, to be in tune with God, there must be confession. Have you got it now? Confession. First of all, this is confession. If we got out of tune, confess your out of tune and get right with God. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that simple? Now, if you're out of tune, and you do got out of tune sometime, I do, we all do, every preacher, missionaries get it, and you get right with God, get right with God, be in tune with God, in tune with God, so you can read the Bible and pray and feel the presence of God, but you confess, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just. And now, we've got to have audition, that's hearing, and confession, to say, Lord, forgive me, I've been wrong, I want to be right with God, I confess my sin. I want to be right with God. Now, number three, to be in tune with God, there must be a third thing, correction. Audition, confession, correction. If something is wrong, make it right. If you've done wrong, make it right. My friend, if you've hurt somebody, make it right. Go and say, forgive me. If you hurt the Lord and you've dishonored God, then go before the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me. I've done wrong. I want to be right. I want to be in tune with God. I want to pray. I want to get through to God. I want to feel God's presence. I've got to make correction. I've got to correct the thing and get right. Now, wait a minute. We all have to be corrected sometime. That reading you've got in your Bible, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, we all do sin. We make mistakes, don't we? And you get right with God. Young man, young woman, mother and dad, grandparents, you're to be right with God. And that means correction. Get the thing straightened out and be right with God every time. And that's the important thing, that you're in tune with God. And you must make the correction. And that you feel the presence of God with you. And know that God will make the thing right. If something is wrong, make it right. Make it right. I remember something way back in my boyhood, back in Louisville, Kentucky. I believe we must have been the poorest people in the whole world. I came up in rank poverty. Poverty. Every bit of it. And I was brought up that way. We had nothing. We were poor, poor people. They had two little rooms on Walnut Street and the upstairs of an old house. Had almost no furniture whatsoever. And Christmas Day come along. I'm a little boy just starting school. And old Henry Clay School in Louisville. And my dad said, came home and he was a motorman on the streetcar. Remember the old-fashioned streetcar? He was a motorman, made almost nothing. And he came home and said, well, you had a rough day. And we don't have no Christmas tree, not a toy, not a thing in the world. And my dad said, you know what let's do? Let's go down to Aunt Daisy's house. Now, we had kin folks living in Shawnee Park. They had a beautiful mansion. We'd never been there. And they were kin folks of ours. And he said, let's go down and see how they're getting along on Christmas Day. We had nothing. We had literally nothing, nothing. And we got ready and walked down the street, down near Shawnee Park. Had a beautiful big white house. I can still see it. Went up, my dad went up, knocked on the door, and Aunt Daisy came to the door. And he said, Aunt Daisy, we just thought, come and see you. Christmas Day. Oh, she said, come right in, come on in. And we stepped in the house. There was a beautiful big Christmas tree from the floor up to the ceiling. You know, the big, a tall ceiling, and a big tree, and lights on the thing, and beautiful. And on the floor were toys and everything you can imagine. And I walked inside. I was stunned. I'd never seen a thing like it. As a boy, we had nothing. And they left us, and I got to playing with things. And in the course of it all, I picked up on the floor a little old-fashioned French harp. Remember the old-fashioned French harp you play? And I began playing the thing. I've loved music all my life. Since I was a boy, I can recall loving music. And I loved the thing. I picked up that French harp, began playing the thing. And soon, I picked up a little tune. And I said, man, this is great. I played a little tune on that French harp. And just a boy. And I said, man, this is fine. Well, night came, and dark in Louisville, Kentucky, snow on the ground, cold winter day, winter night. And my dad said, let's go home. So we went up the street, walked back up the street, back over to Madison, up the steps to our little two rooms upstairs, poverty-stricken. And we had nothing at all. And I walked up the steps. I got inside the little two rooms of the house, and when it did, reached my pocket and pulled out a French harp. I began playing the thing. I love music. Just a kid, I love music. My dad said, where'd you get that? I never told my dad a lie. I couldn't, never could. I said, Aunt Daisy's house. He said, did she give it to you? I said, no, sir, I took it. He said, take it back. I said, yes, sir, tomorrow. He said, no, tonight. And I had to walk out of there Christmas night, snow on the ground in Louisville, Kentucky. You know what I'm talking about? Cold weather. I walked down the street near Shoney Park to Aunt Daisy's house. I knocked on the door, and she came to the door. I said, Aunt Daisy, I took this French harp without saying a thing to you. I want you to forgive me. And I want. She said, son, keep that. We got toys, everything you can think of here. I said, you can't. I said, no, ma'am, you've got to keep it. I shoved it in her hand and rushed down the street. I went back. I walked back up the steps to that little two-room we had, bare two-room. Walked up the steps, top of the steps. There stood my dad. He said, you should take it back. I said, yes, sir. He said, don't forget that. Never take anything from anyone. Never steal in your life. He wasn't a Christian. We knew nothing about the church, Christ, Bible, or anything. He said, don't do anything wrong. Make it right. Make it right. Wait a minute. That taught me a little lesson. All through life, I thought of that matter of making correction. If something is wrong, make it right. With you and somebody else, you and a loved one of your friend, you make it right. In your church, make it right. Get right with God. Get right. Get on your knees, humble yourself, and say, Lord, forgive me. I want to be in tune with God, and I want to make correction necessary to be in tune with God. And that's it. Audition, confession, correction. Make it right. Keep yourself in tune with God all of the time. You've got members of this church right now, Pastor. And I know nothing about your church except being with you a couple of times. But I know people. There's some of them at home. They're all bundled up and troubled inside and sore, a little mad about this, that, and the other. About nothing, usually. That's in all churches, some of them. And they're not happy. They're not happy. They're out of tune. Out of tune with God. Out of tune with the church. And they need to tune up and say, Lord, I want to get in tune with God. In tune with God. We had a great church in Highland Park. All you folks know it. I spent 40 years and 6 months in one place. I had a great, great, great audience. The old auditorium seat, 3,000 people. The new one seats over 6,000. But the old auditorium, I preached there for a number of years. And had a great corps of ushers who ushered a big crowd in from the balcony. You've been around. You know how it would be. And one morning, I had a knock on the little office door. And there stood the usher, the head of the usher. The head of the usher, the man that ran them all. He was a big man, good man. And he walked in the door. He said, Brother Robertson, I made an awful mistake. I said, sir, what in the world do you do? He said, I sold God's money. Since I got saved years ago in this church, I've been a tither. I decided I'd quit tithing and put the money in the bank. Use it for myself. Buy a new car. Buy something else with it. And he said, I've been miserable. He said, I can't go on. I got to be right with God. And reached in his pocket, pulled out a check. And the check was for $200-some-odd dollars. I don't know the exact amount now. But it said, this is my tithe for a number of weeks. And I failed to tithe, and I want to be right with God. I can't pray. I don't enjoy going to church. Don't enjoy being an usher, because I feel like a thief. I've been robbing God of this tithe. I thought I'd keep the tithe, maybe put it away, maybe buy myself a new car. Do something. He said, I can't do it. I've got to be honest with God. I've got to be a tither. I've got to be right with God. And I took the money and I put it in the offering. I never said a word to a soul. And he was a good man. Many of you know him. Davis Hancock, a great fellow. Remember him? Head of the usher. And he just put some number of weeks. He didn't give a dime. He said, put the money in the bank. Then he made it right and got right with God. And I put the money. I never said a word about it. About 2 weeks went by, and he became ill. They put him in the old hospital down on Campbell's Clinic down on Macaulay Avenue. And when I heard he was sick, I rushed down there to see him. I walked inside the room. And when I stepped in the room, he said, Brother Robertson, I'm a very sick man. He said, I don't think I'll make it. He said, I'm glad you're here. He said, did I make it right about that tithe? I failed to give for a long time, then I made it up. I put the check in. He said, did I make that right? I said, yes, sir, you did. As far as I know, you made it right. He said, I just want to be right before I leave here, before I face God. That may seem a small thing to you, but do you see, with him, it was a big thing. His relationship with God, he wanted to be right. Now, wait a minute. I said the words that you want to have to be in tune, there must be audition and confession and correction. If something is wrong, make it right. I give another word. If you're to be in tune with God, there must be submission. Father, thy will be done. Are you listening? God has a will for every one of you. He has a will for your life. Young man, young woman, mother, dad, grandparents. He's got a will for you. Are you in the will of God? You know what's wrong with the world? Most people are out of the will of God. You know what's wrong with Washington, D.C.? Most of them are out of the will of God. That's true around the world. What's wrong with the church? The church is out of the will of God. They do. People get out of the will of God. And you wonder what's wrong. Check yourself day by day and say, Lord, I want to be submissive. I want to be in the will of God. I want to pray with the Lord. Father, thy will be done. I want to be in God's holy will. And you can be. And you can be. In the will of God. I pastored that one church 4 years and 6 months. That's a long time. I baptized literally thousands of people. But God led me to retire. I was 75 years old. And I retired. I could have been on the same place. But no, God said, this is it. And since that time, I've been going to a different church like I am now. One or two days in a place all over the countryside. I enjoy it. I'm in the will of God. Amen. And I'm ready whenever He calls me to go home. The will of God. Wait a minute. You're to say, Lord, I want to be in your will. Submission to God's will. God's will for you. Young man, young woman, mother, dad, grandparents, rich and poor. You're to be in the will of God. And if you're to be in tune with God, you've got to be in His will. And be doing the thing God said. Then number five, to be in tune with God, there must be direction. Direction. I want you to get the words now. Audition, confession, correction, submission, direction. Five words. I'm to follow God's direction. In the book of the Psalms, the psalmist said, the Lord said, I will guide thee with mine eye. I will guide thee. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that God will guide you. Mother, father, son, daughter, He'll guide you. If you're in the will of God, He'll guide you. And will show you what He wants you to do. I mentioned a moment ago about retiring. After 4 years and 6 months in one church, I retired. I was 75 years old. I said, whatever you say, Lord, I'll do it. Since that time, I've been busy preaching week after week in church all over the nation. I'm booked up for many, many months to come. If I live, put in. But I was seeking to be in the will of God and follow God's direction. I will guide thee with mine eye. God will guide you, mother, father, young or old. He'll guide you if you let Him. He'll show you what to do with your life. And that's the important thing. Do what God says with your life. You've just got one of them. Just one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And that one life must be surrendered. And you're going to say, Lord, I want to keep my eyes on You. I want to follow Your direction. In my life, I want to be under the hand of God. I want God to use me. I want God to guide me. Now, have you got the words? Audition, confession, correction, submission, direction. Five simple words, but they work. And you've got your one life. You've just got one life. That's all you've got in this world. One life. Are you spending that life as God wants you to? Are you under His direction? Are you in tune with God? In tune with God. Now, we're all different. I'm different from every man here. Ladies, all we're all different. But we have one God. And one Bible. And one Holy Spirit. And one way of salvation. And the promise of God given to all of us. I ought to be in tune with God. I don't lie down at night and worry about things when I'm not right. I don't want to get up in the morning and have to face a day when I'm not in tune with God. I want to be right with God when I start. And when I end the day, I want to be right with God. Now keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep not on man, keep your eyes on God. Man changes, but God never changes. If you look at man, you get worse off every time. You look to God. Look up to God. With this I close. I went to University of Louisville, Kentucky, graduated from that school. And I got in the school. I'd been there just a few weeks when I heard music playing, and I love music. and down the campus for the of the University of Louisville was marching a big university band. I mean a big one. I had about 75 instruments in the band, directed by a man named Mr. E.J. Wadawa. And that band was playing, boy, beautiful, lovely music. And I said to myself, you know what? I'd like to play in a band. Man, that's something. I heard that band playing. You know how they sound? Marching down the street, that big band director up ahead of them. I said, man, I'm going to get in the band. And I'd taken a few band lessons years ago. I knew a little bit about music, not very much. So I went downtown to the music store in Louisville, and I said, mister, I want to buy something I learned to play fast. I want to play in a band. And he said, where do you go to school? And I said, I go to school at the University of Louisville. That meant that he, with him, he had me up in about the age of 19, 20, 21, and he was guessing at it. And he said, well, he said, that's interesting. He said, what do you? I said, well, I want to play in university band. He said, well, that takes a long, long time. Well, I said, I know that, but I still like to play. And I think I can do it, and you give me a chance. Yeah, I said, what do you recommend? He said, well, I recommend this, and pulled out a saxophone. I said, man, I don't want that. Too many buttons on that thing. And he held that saxophone. I said, no, I don't believe I want that at all. If you don't mind, I don't believe I would learn to play that. And well, he said, what about this? And he pulled out a slide trombone. I said, I don't even like it either. I said, oh, that sliding business around. Slide. I said, I don't really like that. Well, he said, I've got just thing for you. And I said, good. And he walked over there and pulled out from the whole wall of that building a con trumpet. Anybody here play a trumpet? Anybody here? All right, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? And a con trumpet. And he said, how do you like that? I said, man, I like that. I like the size of it. I can hold that in my hand. He said, good. I said, is that hard to play? He said, no, easy. It's going to be a big liar. And he said, anybody can play that. And I said, well, show me. He showed, boy, he can play beautiful, beautiful trumpeter. I said, I'll take it. I bought that thing, and never will forget, back years ago, old secondhand horn, paying $35 for it, $35. I said, now where did I take a lesson? He recommended a teacher at the Sealback Hotel. I went up at the Sealback Hotel and found the man at a little studio there. I said, I want to take a lesson on trumpet. I began to take a lesson. I practiced that thing 9 days, almost killed my folks. And they had to listen to it. And I blew that horn, blew that end awful thing. I said, I'm going to play in that band. If it's the last thing to do, I'm going to play in the band. And I kept on blowing and blowing and blowing. And after a while, I could make pretty good tune out of that trumpet. And I said, it won't do me any harm. I'm going to try to get in the band. And I went out to the band building, music building at the University of Louisville, and I was in school there, and I walked in the office of the head director, Mr. Wadawa. I said, Mr. Wadawa, I want to join the band. He said, what do you play? I said, I play the trumpet. Hadn't been telling him, just had a few lessons. And he said, I play the trumpet. He said, good, show me. That's where he made his mistake. And I took it out of the case and tried to blow something. Any trumpeters here? Any trumpeters? Nothing came out. You know how it is. We had a few lessons. He said, you go and practice a little longer. He said, take less than another 12 months anyway, and then come back and see me. I might let you in the band. I don't know. And I was heartbroken. I put that horn back in the case and started out of that building. And down the end of the hallway, I heard a voice. I looked back. There stood Mr. Waterman, big band, great big thought. Band, he said, come back. I went back. He said, change my mind. He said, you can't play at all. I said, you're right. He said, I'm going to let you in the band anyway. I said, man, that's good. He said, yes, sir. I got a third trumpeter quit. Now, in a band, you have a solo trumpet, third, first and second and third trumpet. And the third trumpet, he said, he quit. And he said, we're a marching band. I've got a uniform that just fits you. And he said, you can't play, but you can look like it. And he said, you wear the uniform and you can hold on that horn and put up there and just go ahead. We can march down the street and you'll be acting like you're playing while you're marching along in the street. I said, I like that. I said, that's what I want to do anyway. I want to get in the band. He said, good. I started leaving. He said, hold it. He said, here's where you sit. In a trumpet, in a big band, you have a solo trumpet, first, second, and third. Third trumpet, you can't get any farther than that. And he said, you sit right there. And he said, you sit there. And here's the music in, music be on there. And he said, I have one rule for the band. Keep your eyes on me. Keep your eyes on me. I said, yes, sir, I'll do it. And I started to leave, and he said, now don't forget what I said. When you sit in that band, in the band, with that horn in your hand, you keep your eyes on me. And I came back the next day. band was all the center of the room bigger than this, and the big band director up here in the front, and I got my place over to one side, got back in the band, and turned the music over. I never saw a man notes in my life. Those sheets are full of notes, you know, that would be played. And I could barely play a sound on the horn anyway. And looked over and said, that guy doesn't mean anything. And I said, how in the world am I going to look at that music and watch him? He said, keep your eyes on me. And I said, I've got to watch that music or I can't play at all. And he came in and walked on the big bandstand, tapped the baton, raised his hand in the air. And I'll think about what he said. Keep your eyes on me. I pulled the horn up, put it up to my mouth, and worked the vowels up and down, didn't blow a thing. Didn't blow a thing. Whenever he would band or direct a man, I worked with it and held the horn up there and worked it up and down. And for a whole hour went by. And when the hour came to an end, he left the bandstand, walked all the way around the knee, around the one side, back to the third trumpet section, put your hand on my shoulder and said, young man, that was splendid. I didn't play the note. I didn't play. You know what I'd done? I watched the director. I watched the director that taught me a lesson. Brethren, I'm 90 years old. And I can testify back through the years of my ministry in the school, in the church, in all of it. I was at the safest point of my ministry always when I prayed and waited on God. Keep your eyes on the Lord. You know why you have church troubles? You look at people. You look up. You know why you have family troubles? You're looking at yourself. And you get along poorly. Look up to God. Say, dear Lord, guide me. And if you do that, He'll keep you from saying the wrong thing. He'll keep you from going the wrong way. And will keep you in line. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes on the Lord. He is the master director. He is the head of it all. And look up to God. Now I want you to hold the word so you can think about it. And to be in tune with God, audition, that's hearing, and confession, and submission, and direction. We've got to have it all. Make God the center of your life. Say, Lord, I want to be in tune with you at all times. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, bless now.